Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty says children are left to suffer while SNAs are being rationed. Potential land is said to have been identified to develop additional student accommodation in Letterkenny. The government is being urged to prevent further physical and psychological damage to the children caught up in the defective concrete block crisis. And the HSE has acknowledged that it's having some difficulty recruiting staff for the new Ballyshannon Community Hospital. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news this evening, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty says children are left to suffer while SNAs are being rationed. In the Dáil earlier, he raised the case of five-year-old Elisa Walsh from Kerrykeel, who has type 1 diabetes. She was forced to step away from her education on Friday as no funding was available for an SNA to monitor her insulin levels during school hours. Deputy Doherty appealed to Minister Pascal Donoghue to encourage the Education Minister to review SNA guidelines.
A five-year-old girl in Donegal, Elisa Walsh, has had to leave school because no SNA has been provided, and she's one of many children across the state failed by the government. Every year we have parents, as you know, and school leaders fighting the system of bureaucracy to secure what is absolutely essential for children with additional needs. And we have a situation where schools are now afraid to apply for SNAs in case they're taken away. Schools are being pitted against each other and then SNAs disrespected and children again left to suffer. I'm asking that the Minister for Education change track. I'm asking, will you agree that government scrap the new guidelines and re-engage with school communities so that we can have proper guidelines that has the support of everybody, including existing SNAs?
At the moment now, there are 23,000 SNAs within our country. If you compare that with where we were a number of years ago, in 2011 there were just over 10,000. There are now over 23,000. And in the last 5 years, numbers of SNAs have increased by 43%. And they are needed. I just want to put that on the record of the House. In relation to the work that is now underway, it is about ensuring that we make best use of the SNAs that are available and to respond back to issues that have been raised with us by representative bodies in relation to the needs of special needs assistance. And I will let the Minister for Education know this matter has been raised here today, because what this work is all about is how we can ensure that the rapid increase in the number of SNAs that we have are being used in a way that give the benefits to those who need them most.
Minister.
Potential land is said to have been identified to develop additional student accommodation in Letterkenny. Technological universities appeared before the Oireachtas Higher Education Committee today to highlight the need for student accommodation. Henry McGarvey, the Vice President of Finance and Corporate Services at ATU, told the committee that ATU has no student accommodation of its own and that substantial funding will be needed to progress any developments. He says the ATU has had to rely on the private sector.
We have identified land in Galway, Sligo, Letterkenny in response to the call in March 24. I think the important thing is, in terms of the strategy that's to launch in October, that it would take into account that getting identified land through design, through planning, takes a fair degree of funding. A reasonable sized 400, 500, 600 bed accommodation space probably requires 2 million plus in terms of upfront funding for design plans. I would hope that any strategy would take that into account to help us to move the process on. With no ATU-owned purpose-built student accommodation across the region that we serve, we're relying entirely on the private sector to address the accommodation demand for our students. For more than 30,000 students, there are just 2,000 purpose-built student accommodation spaces, with approximately 2,000 in Sligo, 200 in Letterkenny, and 50 in the east of Galway City where we are located.
Micheál Martin has invited the Canadian Prime Minister to Ireland during an official trip to Ottawa. The Taoiseach met with Mark Carney, with the leaders discussing trade deals, Ukraine and the Middle East. He also committed to ratifying the CETA trade agreement between Canada and the EU. Micheál Martin says he doesn't buy into concerns about the investor courts element of the deal, which opposition parties have said would allow companies to sue the state for loss of profits.
I was never overly concerned about that. I thought that was a
It's just a classic left-wing, sort of far-left approach to these things. All trade deals have to have mediation. It's just bottom line. All trade deals have to, if things go wrong or if there's a breach, it's a standard provision. Ireland thrives on trade.
The government is being urged to prevent further physical and psychological damage to the children caught up in the defective concrete block crisis. Speaking in the Dáil on a motion regarding child poverty and homelessness, Deputy Charles Ward said hundreds of children in Donegal face homelessness and hundreds more are living in crumbling, unsafe homes due to the crisis. He told Minister Christopher O'Sullivan this is extremely psychologically damaging to children and creates future problems which can be averted if the government takes action.
It makes me sick to my stomach to think so many children are without a bed or a home at night. The government's lack of intervention is even more sickening. How can we sit back and allow this to continue? Homelessness has devastating long-term negative effects on the children's physical and mental health. We know that children have experienced homelessness, are more likely to have health problems, poor academic performance, higher rates of depression, anxiety and behaviour disorders, and more likely to go hungry and experience developmental delays. Hundreds of children in Donegal face homelessness. Hundreds are facing living in crumbling homes, unsafe homes, due to the defective concrete crisis. The sense of security and belonging that a home is supposed to provide has been stripped away from these children. As the walls crumble beneath them, they are forced to leave and live in homes and try and maintain their lives when everything around them is falling apart. It's extremely psychologically damaging. Minister, to the children, their parents, they lie awake every night wondering how they're going to manage. The roof over their head crumbling, constant fear, constant worry, constant anxiety. While substantial harm has already been caused, we need to prevent this psychological damage. We need to act now on the Defective Concrete Act. I'm urging you, Minister, as in your role, please meet with these families and listen to them. And get this sorted out once and for all.
The Minister for Rural and Community Development and the Gaeltacht is in Donegal today. Minister Dara Cleary will officially open the newly extended and refurbished Jim Lynch Community Building on Pierce Road, Letterkenny, within the next hour. He's paid tribute to former town councillor Jim Lynch.
I'm delighted that Jim Lynch has been recognised for his service, not just to the community of Letterkenny and to the town of Letterkenny, but in particular to Letterkenny Community Centre. He was so much part of it, and I think it's fitting that we pay tribute to him this evening, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting James' family.
The HSE has acknowledged that it's having some difficulty recruiting staff for the new Ballyshannon Community Hospital. A meeting of the Regional Health Forum this week was told there are issues which they are working to overcome. Meanwhile, potential uses for the now vacant Rock Hospital are being assessed. Daniel Pitcher reports.
Answering questions from Councillor Micheál Nocton, officials confirmed that recruitment for the 52 long-term care beds and 10 short-term care beds at the new Ballyshannon Community Hospital have been completed, and these beds are now fully operational. The remaining 10 short-term care beds and 8 dementia care beds will be opened on a phase basis once recruitment for the necessary staff grades have been finalised. However, they say the challenges remain in filling certain posts, particularly in nursing, nurse management and multitask attendant roles. They say that the HSE is actively prioritising resources and exploring all available avenues to progress recruitment. With respect to the site of the Rock Ballyshannon, the HSE says it is currently developing an accommodation strategy reviewing the long-term requirement for this property and possible future uses.
Questions have been raised over whether there is a clear transition process for children in the care of CAMHS in Donegal entering mainstream mental health support when they become adults. Councillor Jerry McMonagall, chair of the Regional Health Forum, was told that there is a policy which provides a clear framework to safeguard continuity of care, minimise disruption at a critical developmental stage and ensure those with significant ongoing needs transition to adult services. However, Councillor McMonagall says he has met with a family whose child used the CAMHS service but received no guidance when they turned 18.
I know from talking to the family they're very concerned for their child who now turned 18 and was no longer in the support of CAMHS, and there didn't seem to be that transition into adult mental health support. I contacted the HSC a number of weeks ago about this, and to date I haven't had confirmation back one way or the other from them. So I raised it at the Regional Health Forum. I also spoke to other practitioners in the mental health area. Some were saying, yes, there is a transition period and process, and others were saying there wasn't and it's not effective. That was quite clear with the discussions I had with the family.
The HSE did present you with details of the pathway, and in fairness, it did look very good and very comprehensive on paper. The question now appears to be, is what's written on paper actually translating into interventions on the ground? And the experience, certainly, in the case of this family, is not always.
No, it certainly wasn't. And this family, and I know others, would be in the same boat. And look, it's very, very important, because this is a very complex situation. And this child was going through. I had an awful lot of help and support, and it was able to manage their mental health problems. The HSE are going to come back to me, and hopefully we can resolve this. But I think it just needs to be out there, that if there is a process and there is a transition process, then families need to be aware of that. And unfortunately, in this case and in some others, that didn't happen.
The number of properties purchased in Donegal last year was down on the previous year. 1,100 homes were bought in the county during 2024. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The number of properties purchased in Donegal last year was down 8% when compared to figures from 2023, when 1,200 homes were sold in the county. Latest CSO data shows the median cost of the homes purchased last year was €185,000, up 3% on the previous year. The median wage of those who bought a house in Donegal last year increased 5.7% to €61,000. Meanwhile, the median age of property buyers in the county remains the same at 44.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. Donegal's Michael Murphy has been nominated for the GAA Footballer of the Year award, while Finbar Rorty has been nominated in the Young Footballer of the Year category. Murphy and Rorty are joined by eight other teammates on the All-Star shortlist released this morning, as Connor O'Donnell, Shane O'Donnell, Kieran Thompson, Michael Langan, Patter Mogan, Kieran Moore, Brendan McCall and Ryan McHugh have all made the list. Kerry's David Clifford and Joe O'Connor are in the running alongside Murphy for the Player of the Year award, while Niamh Connolly youngster Rorty will face competition from Armagh's Oisín Connolly and Galway's Matthew Thompson for the Young Player Gong. In soccer, Aston Villa boss Unai Emery is confident their poor run of results will end tonight. They begin their Europa League campaign with a home clash against Italian side Bologna. Villa are yet to win so far this season, and Emery says it's a good time for his team to put that right.
We have to try to use the experiences that we are having or the matches we are playing to try to correct things to do better for the next one.
At the same time, Rangers host Genk at Ibrox. There is one game locally this evening as Rathmullen Celtic play Convoy Arsenal in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. Kickoff at Orchard Park is at 7:45. William Saliba has agreed a new 5-year contract with Arsenal. The France international has 2 years left on his existing deal but will extend his stay until at least 2030. In swimming, Derry's Dervla Brady has won bronze at the World Para Swimming Championships. The teenager earned her first ever world medal by finishing third in the S6 50 metres freestyle the final in Singapore. Her time of 34.69 seconds was behind China's Yu Yan Zhang and world record holder Anna Hunter. In golf, Rory McIlroy is targeting a new career high by winning the Ryder Cup in New York this weekend. He's part of Team Europe, who are hoping to retain the famous golf trophy at Bethpage. McIlroy says a victory in America would mean more than any other triumph.
I'm proudest of my individual achievements in the game, but the most memorable moments and the most fun I've had in my career have been at Ryder Cups, so they're a little bit different. Winning another away Ryder Cup, just considering how hard that has been over the past 12 years, it would be one of the greatest accomplishments of my career, for sure.
In rowing, three Irish boats have booked their spots in the finals at the World Rowing Championships in Shanghai. Fintan McCarthy and Philip Doyle eased into the men's doubles medal race by finishing second in their heat this morning. Siobhan McCrohan won her lightweight women's single scull semi-final, with Jake McCarthy also through to the men's final. In horse racing, Last Kingdom won the featured Lartigue hurdle at Listowel today for Willie Mullins and Paul Townsend. And with the details, we can now go to Dave Keenan.
Last Kingdom ran out a clear-cut winner of the Lartigue Hurdle. The fifth day feature. Atlas Dole today for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. Heads Up and Carrigmorna Spruce. They won the maiden hurdles respectively for Michael Kennelly, a first professional success for him after Carrigmorna Spruce won the opener for Declan Queeley. And Heads Up, second in the Cheltenham Bumper, here and out a clear-cut winner of the other maiden hurdle for John McConnell and Mark McDonough. And local trainer Owen McCarthy's Fast Felix landed a gamble in the hands of Dingle jockey Thomas O'Connor. He captured the opportunity handicap hurdle.
Finally, coming up on the Score programme this evening, Keith Cowan will join us to look ahead to tomorrow's League of Ireland games. Donegal Town manager Ryan Hegarty will talk to us about life back in the Premier Division of the Donegal Junior League. Paddy McDade, the head of women's football at Finn Harps, will talk to us about the development of the club's senior women's team. Plus, 14-year-old Jack Porter will join us to speak about his recent success on the junior darts scene. I'll be back with all that on the Score between 7 and 8. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. Weather night, it will be dry this evening with some sunny spells. Dry and mostly clear tonight with a few mist and fog patches developing. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 7 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says children are left to suffer while SNAs are being rationed. In the Dáil, he raised the case of 5-year-old Elisa Walsh from Kerrykeel, who has type 1 diabetes. She was forced to step away from her education on Friday as no funding was available for an SNA to monitor her insulin levels during school hours. Potential land is said to have been identified to develop additional student accommodation in Letterkenny. Technological universities appeared before the Oireachtas Higher Education Committee today to highlight the need for student accommodation. The government is being urged to prevent further physical and psychological damage to the children caught up in the defective concrete block crisis. Speaking in the Dáil on a motion regarding child poverty and homelessness, Deputy Charles Ward said hundreds of children in Donegal face homelessness and hundreds more are living in crumbling, unsafe homes due to the crisis. And the HSE has acknowledged that it is having some difficulty recruiting staff for the new Ballyshannon Community Hospital. A meeting of the Regional Health Forum this week was told there are issues which they are working to overcome. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome along to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. A survey at the recent National Ploughing Championships has revealed a striking gap between Irish attitudes and actions when it comes to planning ahead. Of around 500 people surveyed, 99% said more people in Ireland should plan for the future. Yet despite this, only 8% of Irish adults currently have an enduring power of attorney in place. So what exactly is an enduring power of attorney? This is a very important subject and the focus of this week's programme. At the Ploughing Championships, looking at the responses and talking to people, it was found that while many farm families talk about wills and inheritance, an enduring power of attorney is the missing piece. While a will covers what happens after you die, an enduring power of attorney makes sure decisions about the farm, finances and a person's general welfare are handled in the way that they want while they are still alive. Well, to explain this in more detail, I've been speaking with Áine Flynn, Director of the Decision Support Service. Well, if I can begin, Áine, by just asking you about this survey that was carried out at the National Ploughing Championships. Mm-hmm. Quite conclusive findings, and maybe you can just tie in just the whole role of the Decision mm-hmm. Support Service here, because this is something that affects essentially everybody.
It does. It does. We did some survey work at the National Ploughing Championships last week, where obviously most of the audience that we were speaking to were from a farming background, though not exclusively. And you're quite right, this is a theme which matters to everybody, something that every adult who's able to do so should consider doing. We're talking here about enduring powers of attorney, a really important tool for planning ahead. which have been around for a while with a lot of interest, it would appear, but relatively low take-up. An enduring power of attorney, just to explain, is an important legal device. So that you're called the donor when you're making your enduring power of attorney. You have capacity, you're an adult, and you're taking the good step of planning ahead in case something should happen in the future, which means that you aren't able to make your own decisions about your property and affairs, your money, your bank accounts, land, whatever it might be, and also your personal welfare. So this is quite separate from your will, which matters for after you've died. This is when you're very much still alive but unable to take those decisions that matter to you and taking care to ensure that somebody can take those decisions for you. Enduring powers of attorney have been around for a generation, really, at this stage, since an Act of 1996. And we discovered when we surveyed 500 people at the ploughing last week that, you know, 99% of people said, oh, everybody should be doing one of these. 86% of people said, I'm now actively considered doing so. But that compares to the 8% of Irish adults who actually have, compared to figures over 20%. In England and Wales and in Scotland. It's changed lately under legislation which has been in place since April of 2023, so that now when you make an enduring power of attorney, it's sent to us, the Decision Support Service. So we're a state service operating under legislation called the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act. We have a lot of functions, but when it comes to enduring powers of attorney, our job is to take them in when they come to us, review them and make sure that they are compliant, that they're going to work in the future, and then they go on a secure search register so that nobody's going to overlook the fact that you made one, and it's not going to get lost or mislaid. Anything like that shouldn't happen. Everybody will know that here's a document where you have said, I'm grand now, and in the event that I'm not grand in the future, this is the person named and properly appointed who's going to make decisions for me, with that person's agreement, obviously.
And is it a complicated process? Is there a lot involved?
Well, it's not the simplest thing you'll ever do because it's so important and it has to be robust and legally compliant. But what we aim to do is to supply as much support as a person needs. So with that in mind, we have lots of detailed guidance available on the Decision Support Service website. Resources in various formats, including step-by-step videos. It is primarily, but not exclusively, a digital application, so you do it online, but we have supports and alternatives available for people who can't engage with us online. We have a dedicated EPA help desk, so if you phone us on a free phone number, then we are able to supply the one-to-one support that certain people might require, and we're answering 600 to 700 calls per week to do just that. So I'm happy to supply that support and to see the numbers going up all the time.
And do people go through a solicitor or do they go straight through yourselves, or is it a bit of both?
Some people do choose to go to a solicitor, and we are seeing that that's true in about 10% of cases. If people prefer to instruct a solicitor, that's absolutely their prerogative, and then we're able to engage with the solicitor whom they have instructed. But about 90% or so of applications currently with us, people have done themselves. You do still need what's called a legal practitioner statement, which is one piece of supporting documentation that goes into the enduring power of attorney, but the 300 or so that have come to us have that, whether people have instructed a solicitor or, as in 90% of cases, they've done it directly with us.
If we look at the farming sector, I suppose this is one of the reasons why you had that presence at the National Ploughing Championships, because roughly a third of Irish farmers are now over 65. So there's an awful lot of them, I suspect, do not have an enduring power of attorney in place.
Yeah, and I suppose, and without trying to generalise too much, a lot of thought might go into who's inheriting after you, but this is about who might need to step in and take charge while you're still here when it comes to the management of land and bills and the day-to-day business of managing bank accounts, property, whatever it might be, knowing that somebody that you have appointed and trusted is going to be able to do that. And also, and we do urge this, that where, you know, people are mostly making these general authority enduring powers of attorney, in so doing, if, say, you're appointing your spouse or partner to step up, if you can't, do think about what would happen if they also become unavailable. So we always say have a subs bench there so that people and often, you know, somebody would choose to appoint two grown-up children, perhaps to act jointly, coming behind in case your spouse or partner also becomes unavailable to step into that role. And that way you've future-proofed your document. The worst thing would be if it comes to it that you need it, you need somebody stepping in on your behalf, but the person that you had named is also not able to act. What is also new, I might mention, a lot of people find this reassuring, is that under the old Act, there was no requirement for ongoing supervision and turning in of reports. So the attorney is now obliged to be supervised by us. Turning in reports, we support with that. We see ourselves supporting the supporter.
So in conclusion, one of the main messages I suspect you want to get out is, you know, don't put this on the long finger, act now.
Yeah, I mean, we have done an EPA for a lady who's 106 and she appointed her, it must be longevity in the family, because she was appointing her children who were in their 70s or 80s to be her attorneys, and that was completely fine. And if you don't have an enduring power of attorney and you're in a position to make one, the best day is today. But you're right, we're trying to encourage this idea that this is something of part of, it's part of good life admin, if you like. So make one today when there's no sense of crisis, rather than, you know, associating it with late in life or when capacity is already an issue. And the hope is that you don't need it ever. We have 130 cases now where the attorney has had to step in and make decisions. But we would prefer if that number was zero. We prefer that people are able to make their own decisions forever, or certainly that they don't need their enduring power of attorney for decades. Getting to grips with it early is definitely the best plan. And then you have the comfort and reassurance of knowing that it's done.
Just give me the website details again.
Yeah, you will find us at decisionsupportservice.ie, where you'll find all of those resources. It's also where you can contact our help desk by email if you like, epahelpdesk@decisionsupportservice.ie. And our free phone number is 01-211-9750.
And that was Áine Flynn, Director of the Decision Support Service. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, until the next time, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 25th of September. The death has taken place in Nottingham, England, of Neil McDade, formerly of Skerry Kilmacrenan, reposing at his brother Hugh McDade's residence at Skerry Kilmacrenan from 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Funeral mass on Sunday morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrenan, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Jack McLaughlin, Strain, Munyuk, Buncrana. Jack will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. The mass can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. both nights and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, in lieu of flowers to CCU, Letterkenny University Hospital, or Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Porter Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred of Una Agnes Smith, née McLaughlin, Troy Park, Derry, formerly of McGinn Avenue, Buncrana. Una's remains will repose at Murphy's Funeral Home, Tubin Burnfoot, this evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member, or Sean Murphy, Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.